The New York Knicks are now a half a game out of the third seed in the Eastern Conference. Let's go. We have a jam-packed show tonight for you guys. Deuce McBride, injury updates, and much more. Let's do it.
Let's run that intro.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game!
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What is going on, Knicks Nation? We are back doing another podcast, episode 41 of the Knicks Nation podcast. Got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Deuce McBride, injury updates, everything. Knicks are a half game out of the third seed now. Cleveland Cavaliers lost to the Miami Heat. Thank you, Miami. Thought I've never said that, but I thought I would never say that. But yeah, here I am saying rooting for the Heat tonight. But Chris, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Feeling pretty good. Like you said, you know, Knicks gained some ground on the Cavs for that third seed, thanks to the Miami Heat. Nonetheless, feeling pretty good, man. You know, Knicks have had a good stretch of games. Got a lot of dubs, man. So feeling good overall. How about you, man? How you feeling?
Feeling okay. You know, it's crazy because there are 12 games left this season, which is absolutely crazy. 12 games left this season, and I think 7 out of those 12 games the Knicks have facing teams below 500. So we could get, you know, we could reach 50 wins. It's in sight. The third seed is right there for the taking. Look, Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell's injury, they're reeling right now. Magic are behind us right now. The Knicks are alone in the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. But Chris, it would be remiss to not start off this podcast talking about Miles McBride, a.k.a. Deuce McBride. Deuce. Look, Deuce McBride is averaging 22 points per game and has hit 50% of his threes, 13 to 26 since becoming a starter. Knicks inserted him into the starting lineup versus the Golden State Warriors, and he has started due to all of these injuries, which we'll touch on in a bit. But Chris, I mean, Deuce McBride, man, I mean, talk about taking advantage of your opportunity. This dude is, poof.
He's been on a hot streak, man. He's been on a hot streak. You know, I've always said it, man. I've always wanted to see Jalen Brunson with Deuce McBride. Let's see how that looks like. Yeah, it'll be a small, you know, lineup per se. But, man, it has looked great. And boy, did we need it with all these injuries that we've sustained. Deuce has stepped up in a big way, man. But I'm not going to lie to you, man. I didn't think Deuce McBride had it like this. You know, I always said, hey, he's going to bring it defensively, but boy, if that shot ever falls, I didn't think it was going to be like this. You're seeing Deuce go up for poster dunks, just showing all the confidence in the world out there. And I love it, man. Talk about a hidden gem.
Like you said, I did not expect this from Deuce McBride at all. I mean, the jump that he has made in year three has, you know, it's been awesome. And shooting, there was a report from MSG saying that this past summer he shot, 500 threes a day in preparation for the season. And it has paid its dividends. I mean, he's shooting over 43%, 42% from non-corner threes, 42% from three, which is, it's great. And now he's starting alongside of Jalen Brunson and Dante simply due to the fact that OG Anunoby is still dealing with this elbow situation. And, you know, that whole situation we'll talk about in a bit, but I'm not liking what I'm hearing out of that. He's been ruled out versus the Detroit Pistons. But look, man, Miles McBride, I mean, you could tell the Knicks were, they had faith in him. They saw what they were, they saw what he was doing in practice. They saw what, you know, he was probably doing behind the scenes, working hard, doing the things that it takes to be a great NBA player. And now it's showing on the basketball court, shooting his threes at a high rate, finishing around the rim. And last game, what I loved is that I saw him take his man off of the dribble a little bit. So, yeah, Miles McBride, man. I mean, player development, Chris. I mean, they look, player development is key to building a championship team. And the New York Knicks have done that. You know, we can go back to even R.J. Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly, Deuce McBride. I mean, look, player development, that's key to winning a championship and building a championship team. And, look, Deuce McBride has been playing crazy.
Yeah, he's been playing out of his mind. And you said it, player development, something that, you know, a lot of us probably wouldn't bring the Knicks up in that type of a conversation, player development. But I think it's time, you know, that the Knicks and Tom Thibodeau at that sheds that stigma, right?
Yeah.
You know, like you mentioned, R.J. Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly, Quentin Grimes, Miles McBride, all players developed under the Knicks recently, and good players at that, and players that are just getting better and better. So what do you think? Is it time to finally retire that stigma that the Knicks don't develop players, that Tibbs doesn't play young guys?
I mean, look, the proof is in the proof is out there, man. The proof is in the on the court. It's showing right now. Look, the Knicks are developing, and they're playing. Look, sometimes does it take a while? Sometimes, look, it took Deuce 3 years, but you know he was behind Emmanuel Quickly, and Emmanuel Quickly blossomed as a New York Knicks draft pick, and then we traded him for OG Anunoby, and now next man up is Deuce McBride. And now he has been, you know, playing absolutely incredible in those minutes. So, yeah, I think that that stigma needs to end. That stigma needs to end. Because, look, Miles McBride, we can go down the list. But he like you said, man, I mean, watching him, I'm just like, yo, like, who is this guy? Like, who is this player right now?
It's crazy. It's surprising, too, because he'll go out there like, yeah, we're expecting him to be solid and all that. But then when he starts dunking on people, hitting three after three after three, and then playing that lockdown gritty defense, you know, it just stands out that much more. Because it's like on a night when Jalen Brunson probably doesn't have his, you know, all-star, superstar game, Miles McBride is there and he's just picking up the slack, basically.
Yeah.
Just like, you know what, Brunson? I got you. You don't got to work as hard tonight. I got this. Yeah, that's great, man.
And he's playing, look, he's played the whole game last game. But my take on that is like, look, he's been on the bench for like 2 years. So let him play, you know, let the kid play. You know, he's probably doesn't even want to come out the game. And due to all these injuries, which we'll touch on in a quick second, let him play. And he's been awesome. You don't care about those minutes, right?
No, not at all. Like Walt always says, man, when guys are cooking out there, they're not tired. And Deuce has been cooking night in and night out. So let him cook.
Let him cook. All right, hit some of these comments. Appreciate every single one of you in here. TA, what's going on? Been a long time since our starters have played. Hopefully the chemistry is still there. Yes, I mean, we'll touch on that in a quick second. Haven't checked yet. Does the Orlando Heat losses put us in third? No, right now we are in the fourth seed. The Cavs play tomorrow. So if the Knicks were to win and the Cavs were to lose, we would get the third seed. And we do hold that tiebreaker over the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, yeah, it's right there. It's right there. Rick, what's going on? Staying steady through these massive injuries has been the defining moment of the season. Any other team would have folded by now. True. True. Evan, what's going on? Salute to you as well. Evan says Knicks are trending everywhere. Thibs doesn't play unproven young guys. IQ, Grimes, and Deuce proved himself. Yeah, Chris. I mean, IQ took him some time, but last year was an awesome year for IQ. Knicks developed him. Deuce McBride took him some time. Sometimes it takes these young players years. I mean, you can't just throw them, like, we live in such a, like, a push-button society. Like, they want, like, a lot of fans, they want answers now. Like, this guy had, like, a rookie player on an NBA team. If he has, like, five bad games in a row, oh, he's a bust. You know, sometimes it takes time for guys to develop. And Deuce is developing, that's for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. And look, every player is different, right? Every player is going to develop differently. And that's why teams take gambles on, you know, X first round pick from this year and whatnot, you know, because you just hope you're that team that unlocks the full potential, right?
Yeah.
But lately, when it comes to the Knicks, it looks like they've been hitting on all their young guys, you know? All the young guys are developing, getting better, and you love to see it, man, because, you know, back in the day, that wasn't our strong suit when it came to the New York Knicks as an organization.
Yeah, yeah. Steven, what's going on, says resilience. Coach Yeah, what's going on? AP says third place by tomorrow. Yeah, CM, what's going on, man? Could you believe after the OG trade, I thought Malachi was the backup? And then we shipped Malachi Flynn to Detroit. But yeah, I thought he was too. And when we traded, you know, quickly, it was like, who's going to bring us that extra spark? Chris said, look, watch out for Deuce. And boy, oh boy, Deuce has, man, he has been that spark, because Burks and Bogdanovich, we'll talk about them later on, they haven't been a spark at all. They've been a spark of literally nothing, to say the least.
That's kind of harsh, man.
Yeah. Look, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're showing some signs of life, though. So I'll give them that.
All right, you guys want to hear my bad Deuce McBride pun? Deuce is proving to be a key card in the Knicks deck. Ooh, like that, right?
I like it, man. Shout out to Deuce McBride, man. Keep up this amazing play. Can't wait to see your next poster dunk.
Yes, shout out to Deuce. All right, injury updates. There's a lot going on here. Julius Randle, OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson. There's a lot going on here. I guess we could start with Julius Randle, Chris. Julius Randle has missed 24 games this season. He has still not been cleared for contact. Let me just bring up this Ian Begley. Julius Randle has not yet been cleared for contact. Tom Thibodeau says his status is unchanged. That was on the 23rd of March. That was yesterday. So, Chris, I mean, he still has not been cleared for contact. He's still working off by himself. And what's your, like, worry meter on this Julius Randle situation? I mean, at this point, we have to start. I don't want to say prepare to not have Randle, because I think he'll come back, but it's been a while since he hasn't been cleared.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess when it comes to worrying, part of me is still not really worried about Randle. I have a feeling that they're just holding him out as long as they possibly can. I still think you got to get him in at some part in the regular season just to get him, you know, at least reacclimated to the game before the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But maybe their thought is, hey, we keep him out until playoffs start, and then we let him roll from there and kind of shake off the rust, similar to, you know, the previous injuries. Maybe they just don't want to risk him getting re-injured during the regular season and then not having him at all for playoff time. So I'm not really worried, but it's in the back of my mind, you know, that at any minute we can get Julius Randle out for a season. Hopefully not, but yeah, that's what I'm thinking. How about you?
Look, 12 games left. That's it. 12 games left, and then we hit the playoffs, and then the playoffs start. I'm starting to feel like the Knicks are just saving him maybe the last week of the regular season, maybe the first round of the playoffs, like they did with his ankle injury when he injured his ankle last year. Because if Randle were to come back, and God forbid re-injure his shoulder, let's just talk hypothetically here. He was to come back and re-injure his shoulder. Would you rather do it in a playoff game, or would you rather do it in a regular season game? Which is why I think the New York Knicks third seed is right there. I mean, it's still obtainable. I mean, I do think personally we're going to get the third seed. So in the back of their mind, they're like, why push this guy? I mean, we can get the third or fourth seed, bring it back for the playoffs, and then go from there, right? I mean, at this point, I mean, chemistry-wise, I guess it makes sense, but you might as well wait.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I'm taking it, you know, I'm being cautious with Julius Randle, especially with the way the Knicks have been playing as of late, you know, this recent road trip, the Knicks excelled. I mean, we didn't think they'd win as many games as they did, but they pulled them all out, right? So with the exceptions, you know, of the Nuggets game and whatnot. But, you know, I think when you factored that in as well, the Knicks are probably saying, hey, why rush Julius back right now? Why even rush OG Anunoby back right now? Right? I mean, do you think there's a scenario where we don't see both of those guys come until playoff time?
There is. At this point, you have to take that into consideration because, look, the OG Anunoby thing, I mean, that's another, like, let me just bring you guys the screenshot that I have for the Anunoby injury that I have. I don't think I have that. Yeah. OG Anunoby's out tomorrow, and the Knicks are listing the injury as an injury maintenance on his surgically repaired right elbow. And Anunoby had surgery to address the elbow ailment in early February. So they're saying it's injury maintenance, and now it's been four games. So it's been four games without OG Anunoby since he returned. So, yeah, Chris, I mean, at this point, look, I personally think the Knicks play Toronto in Toronto. I do think that he wants to play in that game, but because that's his first game back since being traded to the Knicks. Yeah. But at this point, it's like 12 games left. That's it. I mean, at this point, I just want OG Anunoby to be healthy. I mean, at this point, if we finish third, fourth, without a healthy Anunoby and Randall, I mean, how far are we actually going, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I agree. Just... I agree. It's interesting about the Toronto game because I also think that he wants to play in that game as well. Anunoby, that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you said, I just want him to be right. I want him to be able to play, you know, most of the games coming up. If he's available, obviously, if he's not, you know, hurting still. But, you know, it's tough, man. This is the tough part about injuries. And look, we're not the only team that has injuries, but, you know, these are key pieces to our team. And if we're looking to make a deep run come playoff time, let's be real. We're going to need OG. We're going to need Julius. And we're going to need Mitchell Robinson, you know. All three of those guys are huge for us.
At this point, I would expect Mitchell Robinson to come back before Anunoby and before Julius Randle because he has been practicing. He is practicing in full. But Mitchell Robinson, when he was interviewed, he said, like, when he was asked, like, so when do you, like, he was asked about the playoffs. And then he answered, oh, yeah, that's go time. That's when it's go time. So are the New York Knicks just like, they're just like, guys, get healthy. We're going to lock up this top six seed probably in the next week and a half. Get healthy. And in the playoffs, that's when we'll unload all of you. But, you know, at one end, it's like, cool. I wouldn't mind that. But at the other end, I'm like throwing these guys in like that chemistry wise. Sometimes it takes like a week but to get acclimated. But, yeah, I mean, they could just be waiting until the playoffs start. And then that's when they unlock them, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it'll be tough, like you said, to just kind of be like, all right, playoffs are here, all you guys are going out there, figure it out, you know. That might be the reality, but, you know, that's gonna be tough. Like you said, it takes time to build chemistry. Yeah, most of these guys have played together already. The only, you know, exclusion being obviously Burks, Bogdanovich, OG getting acclimated with guys like Mitch and Randall who have been out. But, hey, man, the way I see it, all three of those guys are probably not going to step on the court again until playoff time. I mean, even OG Anunoby, even with the Toronto game, I still have a feeling, you know, he's just been getting ruled out game after game, you know.
Yeah.
So they say injury management. I don't know. I do get a little bit nervous when it comes to OG's elbow because it just seemed like a normal bone spur procedure. You know, we've had audio from Barton Hahn where he's like, yeah, you're going to feel a little funny at times, but hey, you're going to be good to go. Everything's good. And I'm actually surprised he's going to miss game four already, you know, after being back. So I don't know, man.
Because I just don't personally want this season to be like a what-if season. And at this point, it's like, look, we're playing well. Guys are stepping up. Guys are really stepping up. They've won some games here. The West Coast trip was an absolute great trip. Coming home, take care of your business. We got Detroit. You got to take care of your business. We got some winnable games. Toronto's dealing with injuries. So, essentially, you don't really – you can win two, your next two games, your next three games, you can win. But and then after that, it's what, 9 games left of the season. So,
yeah,
you know, this regular season is ending in a few weeks, and the end of April is when the playoffs start. But look, during the post games, I always say like, oh, y'all not ready for a fully healthy Knicks team, because we're capable of knocking out Boston. We're capable of knocking out Milwaukee. I'm not saying that we'll do that. I'm just giving us like maybe a 40% chance against Boston. But yeah, it's just like now it's like week 7, week 8. Randle's missed a bunch of games. His injury's up in the air, and it seems like the update on Anunoby is like, meh. Yeah, I mean, just resting it. So, and then Mitchell Robinson. So, yeah, man. I mean, it's just like one of those things where it's like you want them to all be fully healthy, but
yeah,
at the end of the day, you don't know if we're ever gonna get to that point. And that kind of not scares me, but that kind of like I don't know puts me down in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I mean, even with Julius Randle, we were hearing initially, you know, that after the West Coast trip, we were going to probably start seeing him back on the court around that time. But instead, we got to update that he's not even taking contact yet, you know, that his status is the same. It hasn't changed, which is basically not much of a status. But,
yeah.
So I get it, man. It's a bit of a downer. But, you know, I got faith in the Knicks, man. I got faith in the Knicks. Let's just, you know, we got to hope that these guys, if not soon, then come playoff time, they'll be there. We don't know what we're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I do think Mitch is going to come back before them, but I hope Anunoby will come back before them. But we're just up in the air. We know as much as you guys. That's we're just speculating here. But yeah. Hit some of these comments. Paris, what's going on? Julius is tough as heck. If he wasn't injured, bad, he would have been back after 8 weeks. Look, I think at this point, I think the Knicks are just making a calculated decision. Like, do you want him to come back? Are these games meaningful, really? If you lock up a top six seed, yes, the third seed is right there for the taking. But, like, we play Chicago, what, 2 more times to end the season? Like, let's say he comes back for Chicago and then, you know, God forbid something happens. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, why push it at this point? You know, of course you want to see how Randle reacts. Will he be a spot up shooter? Will he be bully ball Julius Randle? That's going to be interesting to me. Does he go back to doing what he was doing in January and bullying every single player in the NBA? Or does he become more of a spot up 3-point shooter? Does he take it easy on the offensive end? Still lessens the load off of Jalen Brunson, just having that presence out there. And OG Anunoby. I mean, so, yeah.
Yeah, one thing I will say on Julius, man, is that when I saw he was going to be a part of the, you know, roommates podcast with Jalen and obviously Josh Hart, I was watching that waiting for them to ask him anything about his injury, how he's feeling. Mm-hmm. It was never mentioned.
Nope.
Never mentioned. So the Knicks are clearly keeping things on the wrap. But one thing I will say is Julius looked calm. He didn't look like he was favoring his shoulder at all. You know, he was just chilling, arms out, you know. So, like, he must be feeling okay. But like you said, what type of Julius Randle are we going to get once he gets back out there on the court, right?
Yeah. I do think he'll come back, and Paris brings up a good point in here. It's not up to the Knicks. Julius isn't risking his career and his next contract. Yeah, I mean, you know, he could be eligible for an extension. I think this summer. Don't quote me on that. I think so. But yeah, I mean, God forbid he was to get that surgery, and I don't think it's, you know, going to be a long rehab. Usually players that get that surgery are usually back within the next season if you were to get it now. But yeah, I mean, that's something he's probably toying with in his head, you know. He wants to come back. He wants to play. He wants to help this Knicks team go far in the playoffs. But 12 games remaining, I mean, why come back in not a meaningless game versus Chicago or something, but why not just come back game one, first round, and tip the ball up and we go from there, you know. That's sort of where I'm leaning, because these past couple of weeks it's just been – yeah, Randle's doing work off to the side. He's shooting. He looks good about doing it. He's doing cardio. He's working off with the Knicks trainers. He's working off with, you know, the Knicks assistant coaches. We see him before the games. We see him working hard. But 12 games left at this point, it's like, just wait. Just wait. Yeah. You know?
That seems like the more like, you know, obvious type of answer that, you know, I think the Knicks would go.
Yeah.
Because like you said, if I could get it, if maybe the Knicks were battling and they're like falling to the play-in and maybe they need to string some wins here and there, you just need maybe a little bit more. Maybe then you bring in a Julius Randle, you know, maybe then you risk it. But considering how the Knicks have played, how well they've played, I don't think the Knicks are in a hurry to throw Julius Randle out there right now.
No. And look, they're playing well and they're still winning, right? Still winning without them, still playing well, fighting for that third seed. We're playing well. So, you know, that's more of a reason why the Knicks don't need to rush this as well. I saw some OG and OB. Evan says, would you pay OG knowing he can't stay healthy? It's a lot of money. Evan, we actually have an NBA executive saying that OG and OB is going to want a lot of money this summer. So we'll talk about that in a few. But yeah, that's a conversation in itself. AP says, I wouldn't be concerned. There is money on the line, but Julius Randle wants to be a part of any run they make, because if they make it without him, that changes the story. Paris says Ja Morant is out for the year for the same injury. Why can't is it the same injury? The Knicks were, it was just like, they didn't say it was a torn labrum or anything for the Julius Randle shoulder. They didn't say that.
No.
They just say dislocated just shoulder.
Yeah. So it wasn't as severe as Ja Morant's injury.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why everybody's kicking around, you know, will Julius come back? It seems to be a decision between him and the Knicks, really. But it's definitely not the Ja Morant injury, for sure.
Yeah. Rick says up in the chat, damn, Cavs next two games is against the Hornets. We may not get this fourth seed. Get that third seed, you mean. And so, yeah, the Cavs have, I think they have a back-to-back against the Hornets. But they're not playing well. So let's go, Charlotte. Let's go, Charlotte. We were all Kings fans versus Orlando. We were all Heat. I hate to say that. We were all Heat fans tonight versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. And now we're Charlotte fans. Feels wrong, right?
I can't say I was a Heat fan. Hell, I didn't even know they were going to play. So I'll take the nice surprise, though. But, hey, man, Charlotte's actually been playing okay. They've been, you know, they took it to a few good teams recently down to the wire. So you never know, man. The Cavs, like you mentioned earlier, their injuries are piling up. Donovan Mitchell's dealing with some knee issues. I think Evan Mobley just got back. So who knows, man? It's up in the air right now.
Yeah, all right. So versus the game versus Denver, going a couple of games back, versus the game versus Denver. Look, Alec Burks played well versus Denver. He played okay versus Denver. And then now it seems like Bogdanović isn't playing well, Chris. But you heard some things about them. So what are Knicks fans saying about Alec Burks and Bogdanović? What's going on?
You know, I'm just hearing a lot of this, you know, that they're the Detroit Knicks, you know. They're kind of just getting kind of segregated into their own group, which is pretty damn frustrating to me, man, because, you know, when you're on the Knicks, you're a Knick, all right? You know, I just think it's disrespectful. Look, I know they're not playing great. I know they've struggled. But like I said before, like I said earlier, I see some light at the end of the tunnel. You know, Burks is starting to hit some shots. Bogey is taking a step back from –
His minutes are down. Yeah, it's not good.
Look, Bogdanović, the thing that gets me with Bogdanović is like he's not an amazing defender or anything like that, but he was not this bad of a defender, man. Not even in Detroit.
Yeah.
And now you couple that with he's all of a sudden not able to hit shots the way he used to. That's just, I don't get it. I don't get it. But again, I still think there's a lot more there left in the tank for these guys, and we're starting to see Burks come out of it a little bit. But come on, we can't be calling these dudes the Detroit Knicks or the Piston guys. You know, I see a lot of it out there in the community. I mean, it's just like, oh, man.
not for nothing, they were actually playing well in Detroit. So I want them to be the Detroit. Burks was dropping like 20, 30 points in Detroit. Bogdanovich was averaging, 19 points in Detroit. They were balling, which is why the Knicks traded for them. But now, look, yeah. Bogdanovich's minutes are down, and Burks, seeing a little bit more out of Burks, seeing a little bit more, but it hasn't been consistent, and that's the thing,
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure they're still, again, look, I know they've had a bunch of games right now under their belts, per se, but I think they need more time. They need more time. Whatever reason it is, I can't explain it. But, man, we're going to need these guys. We're going to need these guys for what we got them here for, which is scoring punches off the bench.
We got Deuce.
And I was just going to say, if it wasn't for Deuce McBride, man, we'd be in some trouble.
Yep. You know what I think would erase Alec Burks' play and Bojan Bogdanovic's play? If one of them or both of them was to have a great playoff moment, that would erase all of these bad moments that we're seeing right now. Like, if one of them was to hit a big shot, fourth quarter, that would, I wouldn't even care about their play right now, honestly. I'd be like, okay, because of that, that's why the trade was worth it. So I think that would erase Knicks fans' memory of their bad play. But yeah, they've been playing bad.
No, for sure. I think that, like you said it, like, they need that Nick moment, right? Nick moment. If it comes in the playoffs, everything will be forgiven, basically. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. All right. So the New York Knicks won. Their win total is 42 games. The Knicks have locked in their second straight winning season under Tom Thibodeau. They've had winning records in 3 out of their last 4 seasons under Tom Thibodeau. Look, man. 50 wins. You think we can get to 50 wins? I think so. I think we can get there.
I wanted the Knicks to get to 50 wins, so yeah, I'm gonna go yes on that.
Yeah, I want the Knicks to get to 50 wins. Okay, OG Anunoby. This was from an executive that says that OG Anunoby. Let me just bring this up. An executive, one Eastern Conference general manager, believes that the Knicks should be worried about the forward's injury history. And then it says he would try to break the bank there. Why not? They can't afford to lose him. Not a max deal or anything, but I think from his side, it is going to look more like $40 million per year. Something like 4 years and $160 million. And then it says that's a major price for Anunoby, but he has fit well alongside Jalen Brunson. Obviously, he's hurt. So look, 15-2 with OG Anunoby, Chris. And he would try to break the bank, but I forgot who said it in the chat. His injury history, somebody said that's why Toronto traded him, because he has these random injuries. Yeah, with OG Anunoby's injury, I feel like that's the main reason why Toronto traded him. But look, he's going to try to break the bank. And look, the New York Knicks are 15-2 with OG Anunoby on the court. They play extremely well with this guy. But look, he isn't Mr. Durable. And in my opinion, this summer, you got to give him, you got to give him what he wants, You can't afford to lose him. We've seen the product on the court. We've seen how it looks. You just got to hope for the best in terms of injuries, but you can't afford to lose that guy.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if I buy that he's quote unquote, injury prone per se. I know a lot of a lot of the injuries he's had have kind of been kind of like little freak things here and there, kind of like the bone spur. That's not really something you can avoid, It's just something that happens and you got to address it. But even before the Knicks traded for OG Anunoby, there was a report out there that he was going to command 30 to 40 million. And, I was shying away from that, once rumors were going around the Knicks were trying to get OG Anunoby. So, now that he's here, he's with the Knicks, we've all seen the impact that he's given us. 15-2, plus minus, through the roof. Do you think OG Anunoby is worth 30 to 40? And let's not forget, OG Anunoby, there was a report saying that he was going to give the Knicks, or he was looking, or playing around with the idea that he would give the Knicks a break. You know, he would give them a kind of a discount.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts, man?
He's such like a great player. He fits so well on this team. But look, this executive say it says he's going to get a lot of money from the Knicks, but he is starting to look like a player who was just injury prone, and that makes you nervous paying him that much. So a couple of comments in the chat said he's not worth $40 million with what Randall getting $50-60 million. That's crazy. NBA cap is going to continue to rise. I do think if the Knicks can get OG and Obi for mid-30s, I think that's a win. I do think that's a win. I think that the Knicks, all the, you know, OG and Obi's gonna have all the, you know, power in the, within the negotiations, because is he Mr. Durable? No, but he's gonna show them the record. He's gonna show them how he fits on the squad. He's gonna do it all. And I think the Knicks can't afford to lose this guy. So this exec says he would try to break. I don't think he'll break the bank, but the Knicks have positioned. Another thing is the Knicks have positioned themselves to sign him to, you know, a big contract. I mean, look at the Dante DiVincenzo contract. What do you get? Four years, $50 million? Bargain. Yep. Look at the Deuce McBride contract. 4 years, three years, $13 million?
Bargain. Looking like a steal.
Jalen Brunson, he's got to get an extension. Yeah. 4 years, $100 million for Jalen Brunson? Yep. Bargain. So, and then we have to deal with the Hartenstein contract this summer, but I think the Knicks can afford themselves to, you know, not break the bank, but they can give him $35 to $40 million a year. I think so.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no denying what OG Anunoby has done for this team since he got here. Again, 15-2 record when he's out there. So, you know, in my opinion, you got to pay him, because again, I find it hard to believe that the New York Knicks went out there, traded what they traded for OG Anunoby, and are going to just go, thanks for the great record while you were with us. We'll see you around. I highly doubt that, man. You know, I think he's here to stay, and I'll be surprised if the Knicks don't, you know, extend him.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too. Buzzer Beater, what's going on in the chat? What's going on? All right, hit some of these comments. You see anything in here, Chris, that you want to? Baga says OG is very, very good, but too risky of a player to put all my money in him since he is injury prone. I'm not going to argue with you. But at the end of the day, I think the Knicks are going to sign him, and I think it's going to be not a lot of money, but it's going to be a number that when it hits your timeline, you're going to be like, wow. But in the long run, we saw what it looked like in January. And also, the New York Knicks can still have all their picks in the bag. They can still improve the team around OG Anunoby. So at the end of the day, he's a piece to the puzzle. He is a great piece to the puzzle. And we need those guys like OG Anunoby guarding a Jason Tatum, guarding a Jaylen Brown, guarding a Giannis, Jimmy Butler. So, you know, that's why when he got acquired, I mean, you see the record, man. You see the record.
Yeah. I mean, who's to say the Knicks won't throw a big contract at OG, but maybe it has certain incentives that he has to meet, you know, certain games played and this and that. So, you know, I think there's a way to figure it out where both sides are kind of, you know, pleased with it.
Yeah.
Per se. You know, so I think the Knicks will, when the time comes, I think the Knicks will protect themselves to an extent. But I think that, you know, OG's in the driver's seat right now, in my opinion. Even with missing this, you know, the past couple of games, you know, he's going to be basically, you know, running negotiations when the time comes.
Yeah. Yeah. AP says, yes, he's important, but he's not an all-star. He's not the franchise. He's going to get 30s with incentives. Yeah, I think we're going to see a contract in the 30s with incentives. And I think that's a great guy. Like, I wouldn't mind that at all. Like, honestly, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Me either. Simply because, you know, again, OG before the bone spur, you know, he was playing not only amazing defensively, but he was in his bag offensively as well, you know, doing things he wasn't known to do, shooting off the dribble, driving, dunking on people, you know. Yeah. I think there's a lot of untapped potential there, man, when it comes to OG Anunoby. So who knows? Like you said, with the cap rising and whatnot, it could end up being a bargain.
HRM says 4 for 100. We are not, he's not signing here for 4 for 100. And then Baga says, appreciate the comment though, but no, I don't think that's going to get it done. I don't think 4 for 100 is going to get it done. And that's alongside the, like the Barrett extension. Baga says, if we give him the amount of money we gave RJ, I would not be mad. Where he's going to get more than RJ. He's going to get more than what RJ Barrett got, you know?
Yeah. And not for nothing, that RJ Barrett contract is, I'm not going to lie, it's not looking like a bad contract at this moment, you know.
Yeah.
You know, RJ has balled out over in Toronto.
Yeah. Coach here says he's making 20 now. So, yeah, and then his agent is Leon Rose's kid. Hopefully he gives us a – look, when this came out, I was like, of course he's going to want to break the bank. Of course. I mean, the Knicks – my whole thing is like, what are you going to do? Like – are you going to just not sign him? Like, that's not, in my opinion, that's not an option for me. Like, no. I mean, OG Anunoby, like he changed our season. Like in January, remember the end of December, we were not playing well. The Barrett thing, the Quickley thing, trade for Anunoby, Precious has played well. Now Deuce has stepped up, but what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to be like, nah, thanks for your service. We're good.
Yeah.
You gotta give him.
You gotta. I still remember the night before it was announced that OG Anunoby got traded to the Knicks. I remember it was a Knick loss, you know, where the team's body language just looked terrible. I mean, it looked like we were just heading to, you know, mediocrity, basically.
Yeah.
And then boom, OG Anunoby gets acquired. Everybody's in their feelings, not knowing what to expect. And 15-2, you know, with OG Anunoby. So, look, this is a guy that we need to lock him up. You know, these guys are rare in the NBA. You could say, you know, there's plenty of guys out there that can play that spot, but they're not giving you the same production OG Anunoby is when he's out there, in my opinion.
Yes. All right, kind of reset the room a little bit. Knicks are a half a game behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs lost to the Miami Heat, so now we're a half game behind Cleveland. We gave you guys Julius Randle update, a Mitchell Robinson update, an OG Anunoby update. It really is no update. I mean, it's an update, but it's like no update. I mean, Mitchell Robinson's still practicing, which is good, which is great. But it seems like Tom Thibodeau said he's going to want Mitchell Robinson to practice for a while until Mitchell Robinson gets back on the court. OG Anunoby's been ruled out versus Detroit, so we're not going to see him. It's going to be interesting to see if OG Anunoby returns in Toronto. That's his first game back in Toronto since the trade. Seems like the Knicks are trying to, you know, maintenance that injuries. But Chris and I were just talking, just pondering back and forth about the Randle thing. If he, you know, at this point, 12 games left of the season, why even bring him back until the playoffs? You know, he's still not practicing, still not doing contact. So, yeah, I mean, but Knicks are playing well. We started off this pod talking about Deuce McBride. Deuce McBride has been absolutely playing out of his mind. If you guys are just joining us, we read to you some Deuce McBride numbers. He has started, let me just go back to it. He's averaging 22 points per game and has hit 50% of his threes. Since becoming a starter, he's shooting 42% from three and 42% from non-quarter threes. And his efficiency field goal percentage is 56%, third best on the team. Look, Deuce McBride has been playing incredible. I mean, I wasn't expecting this at all. I'm sure not a lot of you were expecting this, but he's a perfect example of a player putting in the work behind the scenes, waiting for his opportunity to get called. And then when his opportunity arises, he takes advantage of it. And he is humble, which I absolutely love. And he's also... he can also like dunk on you, which is crazy. And then Evan says Deuce's contract is also a steal. Yeah, at this point, that is more than a steal. That is like a highway robbery at this point. I mean, that is crazy. 13
and mil. I mean, just a testament to how much Deuce has improved, even from the moment that he got that contract. I remember he got that extension, and we were like, why? Why are you giving him this? Yeah. You know? And look at him now, man. And, you know, exceeding expectations and then some. So shout out to Deuce McBride. You know, hopefully this is just the beginning of amazing things to come from this young man.
Yes, man. Evan says Deuce's contract is also a steal. AP says, I am so happy for McBride getting his props after sitting on the bench for 2 years. He was killing the G League. Leon has talked to his son. See, what's going on? I hope next year we get to see Jacob Toppin. That'll be awesome, too. But, yeah, McBride has been killing it. Yeah. I think he's going to start again versus the Detroit Pistons, and I'm sure he's going to continue to play great. There's a poll in the YouTube chat, 59 votes. What has been the most defining part of this Knicks season thus far? The play of Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby's impact, the injuries, or the gems? McBride and Precious Achiuwa. Precious Achiuwa didn't play the second half, I don't believe, versus the Nets, right, Chris? So his minutes have kind of, you know, been up and down. But the play of Jalen Brunson and the injuries are tied right now at 31%. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to go with I'll go with the play of Jalen Brunson, man, because without Jalen Brunson there, if you take him out of the equation with the injuries we've had, you know, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. And we've seen a couple of games without Brunson at that, along with Julius, along with Mitch, and it wasn't great. So my vote is Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jalen Brunson, man. All-star, he should be considered to be in the MVP conversation. He should be an all-NBA player. We wouldn't be where we are today without Jalen Brunson, that's for sure. I mean, these last couple of weeks, really, his aura around the league, like Draymond Green is talking highly about him. Yeah. Who was it? Some former player in the Heat was talking highly about him. We also have Kendrick Perkins always standing behind Knicks fans, always talking up the Knicks on the ESPN platform, because we know how that platform can be. So shout out to Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Even Steve Kerr, man. Steve Kerr was over there, you know, praising Jalen Brunson and, you know, throwing out another nugget talking about, hey, we're looking at Jalen Brunson for Team USA again. So,
yeah,
you know, I love it. I love it, man. It's been a lot of, past players and whatnot that are giving the Knicks, you know, and Jalen Brunson props. And it's about time, man. I think it's overdue.
Yes, I think so, too. All right. I asked, what's going on in the chat? Got some stats here for you guys. Who said mid-range jumpers are dead? Dante DiVincenzo is shooting 48% from mid-range. Jalen Brunson is shooting 48% from mid-range. Shout out to Dante. Absolutely incredible game versus Brooklyn Nets. Really, yes. You know, won us that game in that fourth quarter. He scored, what, like 11 fourth quarter points, 7 straight fourth quarter points?
Yep.
Yeah, so shout out to Dante. I mean, I can go down the list. I mean, these guys have been awesome. Isaiah Hartenstein, Chris. Yes, Isaiah Hartenstein, you know, with his little push shots. I guess they consider those mid-range shots. I don't know if those are like mid-range shots, but I guess cleaning the glass, this is from cleaningtheglass.com. I guess they consider those mid-range shots. He is shooting 52% on those, 41-79 on the season. And Mr. Josh Hart is grabbing 20% of opponents' missed field goals. That is the best rebound. He is the best rebounding guard in the NBA, Chris. So DiVincenzo shooting great from mid-range. Brunson is shooting incredible from mid-range lately. Isaiah Hartenstein, it's looking like he's starting to get into, you know, his rhythm. He's playing, I mean, in the limited minutes that he plays, he is effective. He's not even playing 30-plus minutes. He's been around 25 to 30 minutes a game, and he's passing the ball. He's grabbing offensive rebounds. He's scoring. So when you see these stats, Chris, I mean, That's why the Knicks are, you know, fourth in the East and are about to be the third seed in the Eastern Conference, because guys are playing extremely well.
Yeah, guys are hitting their stride at the right time, in my opinion. You know, even amongst the injuries and whatnot, our guys are still going out there. They're battling and they're playing well. And especially Iheart, man, he's looking more and more like himself lately, you know, as every game goes on. And we saw it even against the, you know, the Nuggets game for Ihart, where he had 20 points. I think he missed only three shots, between 7 of 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously got his boards, a couple of assists. But Ihart, man, he's becoming the force out there. You know, looking exactly like the Ihart we were missing. And it was getting a bit dicey with him. You know, his Achilles injury, it seemed like he wasn't going to be able to play games back to back or just give you that same amount of effort he normally did. And it seems like he's turned the corner. Same thing with Dante. He went on a bit of a cold streak, and it looks like, you know, he's picking up the slack again, able to shoot well, hitting his shots. This team is clicking, man. This team is clicking at the right time.
Yes, indeed. And if you take a look at the standings here, the Knicks are fourth in the Eastern Conference, a half a game behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Magic, shout out to the Sacramento Kings, beating the Orlando Magic, snapping their winning streak. They were winning a lot of games lately. But Knicks are 42-28, and the Cavs played one more game than the Knicks, 43-28. So, and then the Miami Heat are 3.5 games behind. It's still close here, Chris. Like, it's not like a given that will be top six, because it is close, a little too close for my liking. But as long as the Knicks can continue to take care of business, we should be good. Because it's still close. It's not like, you know, we have a 7-game lead over the Heat for the play-in, you know?
No, I like our chances, though. Again, with the way that we've been playing, you know, I think we'll be firmly in that 4, dare I say 3 spot.
Yeah. If you take a look at the Knicks' upcoming schedule, a lot of winnable games here. A lot of winnable games here. Detroit, at Toronto, and at San Antonio. So the Knicks, in my opinion, they should put together a nice 4-game winning streak here. But at San Antonio is not going to be a layup matchup. The Spurs, I know their record stinks, but Victor Wembanyama has been a problem all season. Victor Wembanyama, Chris, this guy's incredible, man. But yeah, it's not going to be a walk in the park. But then at Miami, and yeah.
Yeah. Wemby, he's going to be something, man. I think I saw him the other night just hit like a logo 3, which is insane for somebody. How tall is he, 7'5"?
Just something like that.
You got somebody. I mean, I used to be in awe of Porzingis back in the day, and now you see Wemby at like 7'5", hitting logo 3-point shots, bro. That's insane.
Crazy.
But like you said, man, Knicks schedule coming up. I also see 4 wins there as well, man. And look, the way that we're playing, it should be almost a guarantee.
Baga Jones says, if the Knicks were healthy since the OG trade, we would be the number 2 seed right now. Jalen has been great this year, but injuries have had the bigger impact. Yeah, I mean, we would be fighting for the 2 seed. I'm like, we're not that far behind, but I agree with you, Baga. I mean, if that's the thing. I mean, it's the injuries right now. You know, at this point of the season, you just 12 games left, you just want to get everyone at least to 80-90%, you know? I mean, at this point of the season, nobody is feeling 100%. It's just the reality of the situation. And you just hope, you got to hope for the best, you know? But yeah, Chris, I think that 2 seed is in sight if we were healthy, but.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we were rolling, man. There's no doubt about it. Back in January, man, we were just taking off. But that's the reality of the NBA. Every team gets banged up. Every team has injuries. And, you know, I like the way the Knicks have responded, man. With all said and done, we've played very well with most of our key guys out of the lineup.
Indeed. On this day, around the NBA, Chris, want to go around the NBA, Chris?
Yes. On this day, Patrick Ewing dropped 51 on the Boston Celtics for a career high in 1990.
51.
And also, 7 years on this day, dare I say future Nick, Devin Booker scored 70 on guess what team? The Boston Celtics. Something
Booker.
About
I like day. How you threw in future Nick in there, Devin Booker.
Hey, man. I got to speak it into existence, you know? So something about this day, man. You know, the Celtics get torched by a particular player here and there. But
I saw Ewing at the Knick game, too, with his kids. versus I think it was versus the Nets. So that was pretty cool.
I love that, man. Yeah. I always felt like Ewan didn't get, you know, the love he deserved, you know, back in the day and even after, you know, his Knicks career per se. So it's nice to see Ewing out there, man, chilling with the family.
Yeah, shout out to Big Pat. All right. And after the game, Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart talking it up with Mikal Bridges. What do you think was being said during this little exchange right here?
Oh, man. Part of me wants to believe they're just like roasting him, but I don't know, man. When Jalen Brunson puts up that jersey, you know, he's like, hey, man, you coming here next year? We're going to get you. Just tell him. Tell him you don't want to be there no more. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, what did Josh Hart say after the game? Mikal Bridges is like, who is it looking out the window? Was it Patrick? SpongeBob and somebody else is. And they're like all playing outside and somebody's looking out the window and that's Mikal Bridges. That was absolutely hilarious. But Josh Hart is literally, he has no filter. That was funny. But
yeah, I think that's accurate, man. I think that's accurate because he looks, I mean, Mikal looks miserable, man. Let's be real.
Look.
He's seeing his dude shining and, you know, he's just like, damn.
Yeah, that podcast was cringe when they had the asking Mikal Bridges questions about, you know, his future and Josh Hart taking off his shirt and the Knicks shirt was underneath of him. That was funny.
That was, but, you know, shout out to Mikal, man. He was brutally honest right back at the Nets, you know, which obviously Nets fans didn't like that, but I mean, what do you think, man? They keep bringing it up. They keep teasing it. You know, it almost makes you feel like, you know, they got to be telling Knicks upper management, hey, if you get a chance to get Mikal in here, let's do it.
CEO says they definitely was telling him to come here and play and play. Bro, we all need you. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Brooklyn would trade him to us. But, you know, I just think they're having fun with it. Like, I honestly think they're having fun with it. And they know Knicks fans. Some Knicks fans want Mikal and obviously the Villanova connections, but I think they're having fun with it. So that's my take on it. But it's interesting. Yeah. It is interesting.
It's nice to dream. It's nice to dream.
It is. All right, Chris, you guys ready for some trivia? Got some trivia. We're trying something new this week. So every week we're going to cycle through questions. This week I'm asking Chris a question. You guys can chime in the chat to see if you guys know the answer. Next week, Chris can ask me a Knicks question. These questions are surrounding the New York Knicks. Got some music.
Uh-oh.
Got some trivia music here. All right, Chris, you ready?
I like that.
Who is the Knicks' all-time leader in assists? Is it A, Walt Frazier? Is it B, Mark Jackson? Is it C, Earl Monroe? And is it D, John Starks? Give you a few minutes, talk it through. Maybe people in the chat wanna help out. But
it can't be John Starks, man, because you know, John Starks was just from three, you know. That's all I remember when I hear John Starks is Starks for three. So I'm gonna rule that one out.
The Knicks all time leader in assists.
I'm digging this background music, by the way.
You like that, right?
I thought you were going to hit me with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you know?
So you got Walt Frazier, Mark Jackson, Earl Monroe, and John Starks.
I'm going to go with Walt Frazier. Final answer.
You're going to go with Walt Frazier. I'm afraid you're wrong, Chris.
No.
I'm afraid you're wrong.
Ah.
Got a second guess?
I'm actually disappointed.
Throwing it back a little bit.
Mark Jackson.
There you go. The answer is Mark Jackson, the Knicks' all-time leader in assist. AP got it right in the chat. I'm going to say Mark Jackson. CEO says Walt. It was Mark Jackson. There you go.
Oh, man. I actually can't believe that. I thought it would have been Walt, man. Dishing Mark, and swishing, man.
Mark was a he was, I think he averaged, what, like 8 assists for the Knicks? He was a good passer, you know? He was a good passer. Buzzer Beater says beat Mark Jackson. Yeah, it is Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson is the answer.
I'll take the L.
Next week, you can try to stump me. All right, Chris, anything else you wanted to touch on before we head up on here? We touched on pretty much everything. Got a couple of games coming up here, some winnable games. Knicks are fighting for that third seed. Deuce is playing well. OG, we don't know the severity. Randall, we talked about that as well. Any other thing you wanted to touch on before we head up on out of here?
Yeah, actually, Dante DiVincenzo is on the verge of breaking the Knicks' three-point record. So, again, the Knicks, potentially are going to be able to erase Evan Fournier off the top spot. You know, I think DiVincenzo's 18 threes away from hitting the 241 mark, and he's right there, man. What do you think? Do you think Dante DiVincenzo can surpass Evan Fournier's mark of 241 3 points made?
Of course. I think he's going to break that within a week, maybe. But I do think that he was going to I think he is going to break the record. So that's my opinion. Yeah.
Especially with the amount of attempts he puts up. I mean, I think he's definitely going to hit it. So shout out to Dante DiVincenzo, man. Flamethrower.
Did I get the question wrong? Is it Walt Frazier? I think it is Walt Frazier.
Let us know in the chat.
47. Redemption. Wait, is it Walt Frazier? No. I could have swore it was Mark Jackson, the all-time Knicks assist leaders. Oh, yeah, Walt Frazier, 4,700 assists.
Let's
4,000 assists to Mark Jackson is number two. Wow. Got that one wrong. Chris was right. Give me, I don't know what you want to give me. That is terrible. Got that one wrong. I could have sworn it was Mark.
I feel better, man.
So you did get it right.
Walt, man.
You did get it right.
Walt's always talking about dishing and swishing. You know, it had to be Walt.
Right. Just wanted to test you guys in the chat, you know. That was the whole plan, you know. That's the whole plan. See if you guys know your Knicks stuff, you know. But yeah. Walt Frazier with 4,700 assists, Mark Jackson with 4,000 assists. Walt is up 700 assists on Mark Jackson, but he is number two in assist leaders. Both of them were great passers for the New York Knicks. All right. So yeah. That was for our first trivia question, Chris. That was a total failure.
No, I like it, man. There was some, you know, some drama there and everything, you know. So can't wait for the next.
Yeah. So it was Walt Frazier. All right, guys. This has been fun. Want to thank our channel members, CM. If you guys want to become a channel member, you can do by hitting the join button down below. Help us support us here at the Knicks Nation channel for as low as $2.99 per month. Get access behind the scenes and whatnot. Also, just want to thank you guys for giving us the time on your Sunday evening. I know time is very valuable nowadays, so want to thank you guys for giving us the time. We really appreciate it. Having some fun here on this Sunday evening. Wow, I can't believe that. I can't believe I botched that. I had Mark Jackson as the answer, but it's Walt. How did I disrespect Walt like that? Man, oh man.
Shame. Shame. Nah, man, it's all good. It happens, man. It happens.
Yeah, it happens. All right, guys, smash the like button, subscribe to the channel. I'm Anthony. That is Chris. We'll catch you guys next week. As always, it is Let's Go Knicks. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.